This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
And here we go.
There's a drive!
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive!
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field!
I've been hearing that a lot.
You visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here. Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman, Brad Underwood,
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Gee.
Let's go for a little ride.
Yeah! All right, it is The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lon Tay. He is Derek Piper. Trevor Valise in as well. You heard him doing the Illini N Cubs version of the weather, it sounded like. Going to be cool. 75, 76 this weekend. Is fall coming around, Derek Piper, which means football? Although we always have at least two tailgates that are extremely hot, and I'm fine with that. Normally September can get really hot around here, and even sometimes into October you have pretty hot days, and I love those tailgates. Now, I do like when it's 75, 80 degrees. Who doesn't, right? I mean, everybody in the world appreciates that. You throw on shorts, you throw on a little bit of a pullover, and you're good to go. Hides my moobs. I mean, everything about it, it really works to perfection, but give me still 90 degrees for a tailgate where the Bud Light, you take it out of there, and it's just you can feel that cold Bud Light on your hand, and it's like, let's go. It's go time.
It's game week next week.
Yeah, baby.
That's insane. But, yeah, there is something cool about being able to wear shorts and sleeves. I don't know what it is.
I agree.
It's a hoodie or something light on top. And then I'm looking forward into – I know you're a Bud Light guy.
But yeah.
Transitioning into maybe the – where it's appropriate to drink an Oktoberfest.
Oh, okay.
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 I like that. So.
Okay. Yeah, you're more of that. I mean, you can do that.
Some
I don't want to say you're more of that.
I mean,
that,
yeah.
You're not all the way that like Jeremy.
Right.
Although Jeremy will drink a domestic, don't get me wrong. And then, like Carp was always a, captain guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just simply domestic. and occasionally I'll have a vodka and something, whatever, but not at tailgates. It's all about beer. Speaking of Illinois football, we have a starting quarterback. It's really wasn't much of a secret, especially if you follow along with the Illini Inquirer and read Jeremy Warner's stuff and Isaac Trotter's stuff from, all the practices. It sounded like Brandon Peters early on, Derek, in that situation, in camp, et cetera. It sounded like he really took grasp of that starting spot and held on to it. And he has been, Illinois football tweeted it out today. He has been named the starter. What does that tell you that they're jumping out and doing that this quick? Cause I know, you know, Rod Smith has even alluded before that why do I need to tell Akron? You know, why don't they, you know, go ahead and try to defend Isaiah Williams plus Brandon Peters? So why would I need to tell them that? But just like that, they named Peters the starter today. What does that tell you?
You're at the point of defining roles in the training camp where you want to split the reps up. You want to give Brandon every opportunity to prepare for week one. At the same time, I think you want to boost, you know, this is a boost in confidence.
True.
Why not have him feeling as good as possible going into week one when you know he's going to be your starter? Are you working on packages to get Isaiah Williams on the football field? Of course you are.
Heck
you have
yes.
to be. Every fan's going to be waiting against Akron, whether you're up a couple of scores late in the game and you can throw him in there. But even early on, you know, you're hoping that you're up a couple scores early in the game,
Amen.
Too. But whenever he gets on the field, you're going to be excited. But Brandon Peters was brought in here to be the starting quarterback.
Yep.
He's the most steady option right now. You trust him to make manageable throws. And right now, that's where your trust is at, and why not let him know?
I think it also tells me that Peters is that much further ahead.
True.
I think if it was still a little bit of a battle, even if it was a battle where they think Peters is going to be the starter, I think they hold off in announcing that. But it sounds like he's really taken that next step. I'm going to tell you what we've got coming up on the show, but I thought of something as you were talking about that with packages for Williams. What is your thought? Let's say Brandon Peters comes out and has a pretty solid year. So he comes out against Akron, leads you to about a, let's say a 35-10 win over Akron. And then he comes out week two, against Connecticut, leads you to a 38-14 win. Then he comes out against Central Michigan or Eastern Michigan or whoever the heck they're playing.
Eastern Michigan.
And they win that game, you know, let's say they win that game, 28-3 or something. I don't know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
What is your thought with regards to now kids today can play three games
four,
and then still
yeah.
redshirt or maybe four? What is your thought to redshirting Isaiah Williams? Or are you to the point now where you'd almost rather see? It's tricky because here's what makes it tricky. Peters has 2 years left. That's weird, right? Normally, if Peters was just here for 1 year, I think that tells me as a no-brainer, you get Isaiah in there and you let him run some plays, you let him play a few quarters, especially if a game gets out of hand, because then all of a sudden he's got to be your starter next year. Now with the fact that Peters is here for 2 years, do you try to save a redshirt year for Isaiah Williams, or do you just say, you know what, let's go with it? We got Dixon coming in as well.
Yep.
I mean, pretty soon we're pretty loaded, obviously, in that quarterback room. But how would you go about that, and do you think Illinois just says, I don't care, we're going to get him out there and he's going to play, and then will we look back and regret the fact that Isaiah Williams doesn't have one more year?
Yeah, it'd be tough if Brandon is your two-year starter for the next 2 years and then you only have 2 years of Isaiah left and he doesn't, you know, you're sitting in that senior year and you're like, oh, it would be so good if we just had one more year of him. At the same time, I think everybody in that building is wired to where this is the year.
That's a great point.
Right? This has to be the year where we got to do everything possible to get to a bowl game.
Yep.
Six wins, whatever it may be the best team that we can potentially be on offense. And knowing how Rod Smith thinks and how creative he is offensively, if I'm Isaiah, I just want to get in whatever I can and see what he can draw up and get me involved. So, and then also just knowing how easy it is for an injury to happen.
That's a great point. That's what I was going to bring up.
If Isaiah hasn't played and Brandon Peters goes down and you're a 5-win football team with two games to go, you want him with some experience and be able to throw him out there in that last game against Northwestern and having played. Right?
Yes, I agree. And that was a great point. That was the next thing I was going to say is, you know, behind him, you got Matt Robinson, who played a little bit last year, and Karan Taylor, Karan. But, you know, it's one of those situations where he hasn't taken a snap yet, so I don't think you trust Taylor. Maybe you trust Robinson a little bit to at least limp you through a game. But if there's a considerable injury to Brandon Peters, you've got to have Isaiah Williams ready to go. And I think you just answered my question to perfection there in terms of saying, you know what, no, you don't worry with it. If you're Illinois, you've got a starter, and then you've got a backup that is for sure your backup. Why not get him some playing time? And it totally changes my mind too about like an Akron. If you're up 31-0 going into the second half, then in my mind, you play Isaiah Williams the whole second half, or at least most of it, right?
Yes.
Maybe you get Brandon Peters in there to do a few things. The one thing I would do, and maybe I'm looking really cloud nine here, right? Hoping there's three blowouts to start the season. But the other thing I would do is if you're going to have packages for Isaiah Williams, I don't want to show those before Nebraska if you don't have
to. Good point.
Right? I mean, now, you could still get Isaiah Williams in there to run offense. Maybe run, if you're up 31-0 on Akron, he runs a pretty boring, basic offense where he turns around and hands the ball to Mike Epstein or Ravon Bonner because Corbin's already gone for 120. And then, you know, maybe a couple of little quick dump passes in the slot, et cetera. But I don't want to show any fancy package out of Isaiah Williams until Nebraska gets here and maybe late in the third quarter of a game that's 21-14 Nebraska, you pull Isaiah out and you pull one of those packages out.
Yeah,
that would
be
my
really
hope.
Interesting.
It would be.
Then the flip side of that is if he doesn't make a throw, you know, beyond 5 yards until Nebraska, do you want to get that out of him against Akron and Eastern Michigan?
Fair point.
I do agree though, any kind of gimmick, you know, running play where you're maybe countering or just getting anything like that, you want to save that.
Yes.
But at the same time, you want to get him some experience and knock some of that. He's going to have nerves, right?
Yeah, I agree.
True freshman quarterback
totally.
Going out there. One interesting part, and I'm interested in your opinion, is when you're talking about these packages for Isaiah, do you want it to be an entire series, or should he come in and run two or three plays and then Brandon goes back out there? Because they talk about not messing up the rhythm. Do you want to give him the whole series, or it is kind of a 2-3 play thing?
I think it's hard for a freshman to come in for one or two plays and then get back out and then come back in for one or two. I also understand the idea of And here's my thought to that. If you've got a good rhythm going, Brandon Peters, then you just stick with Brandon Peters. Let's don't try to get smarter than what we are, right? I mean, if he has a good rhythm going the entire game, you keep him in here. You don't need to use Isaiah. If you feel like during a game it's the time to bring Isaiah in, then I think I would like to see a series out of him. Didn't they used to do that with, who was the quarterback? It was Eddie McGee.
Juice and Eddie, right?
Juice and Eddie, right? They would bring Eddie in, and he would actually run a series to see what he could do. And I think sometimes that might be, especially early on, not a bad idea to where you get Isaiah in there, you get Brandon Peters to stand right next to Rod Smith, unless he's up in the booth or whomever, and he can sit there and watch and say, all right, here's what you're looking at, right? Here's what the safety's doing when we put this guy in motion, or here's what, you know, this cornerback is dropping, et cetera. I think, you know, maybe now you check too, or if you see this linebacker doing this, you check to this play. I think sometimes that could help, but I think to your question is a long-winded answer. I think I would rather see Isaiah for a series than come in for one or two games, if you ask me.
Yeah.
RJ on the text line, and you can always text us at 359-2255, said pressure Williams into playing a slot receiver. Well, you did that with Aaron Bailey. You tried to get Aaron Bailey to do anything but quarterback, and he left your program.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you do that. I think you promised, Derek, Isaiah Williams that he would be a quarterback at the University of Illinois. You had a five-star high four or low five-star recruit that said yes to you because you promised him, unlike a lot of other people that said, hey, you come, we're not going to promise you quarterback, but we, you know, we could get you on the field as a wide receiver, a defensive back, or whatever. I think you made the promise, and I wasn't there when it happened. Maybe they didn't actually promise it, but I think you said to Isaiah Williams, we're going to give you every shot to be a quarterback, so you do not do what RJ is hoping to be done, where you push him to another, unless he comes to you year two. Maybe he comes to you year two when he's not playing because Brandon Peters is playing all the time, and then he sees C.J. Dixon in there throwing the ball around, and he says, you know what? I don't have a future as a quarterback here. Put me at a slot receiver.
Right. I mean, the reason he's at Illinois and not Ohio State or Florida or anywhere else where he had offers from is because he's playing quarterback here, he was an athlete, being recruited as an athlete there. And beyond just the promise, I think that Rod Smith has full intentions of utilizing him as a quarterback.
I totally agree.
They like him at quarterback. Who wouldn't want that player, that playmaker touching the ball every single down when he's developed and when he's ready?
Absolutely.
So I think it's way too early to talk about putting him in the slot, especially on an every down situation. But are there going to be plays where Isaiah and Peters trot out to the field at the same time? And that would be interesting.
It would be.
You have to be ready for if he gets the ball on a jet sweep, can he throw? What can he do with the ball?
I like it.
But at the same time, it's way too early, in my opinion. Losing a battle in camp, and I don't even know how much losing it was. Right. He didn't really have he had a chance, but Brandon Peters was the expected winner of this job. And one game hasn't been played, and I wouldn't put him in the slot.
He is Derek Piper. I am Lonte. It's The Drive with Tay and Piper. Today we got some good stuff coming up. Alan Shepard, Danville Post 210 head coach. They ended up playing late last night. I went to the movie. I went to see Tarantino's movie.
Any good? You were there for a while, isn't it, 3 hours?
It's 2:45. Mm. Trevor, I texted Trevor halfway through it, and I said, this movie stinks.
Did Dakota Hudson still have a no-hitter when you got out?
Yes.
Good.
He did, I think.
Well, I mean, he didn't give up a hit, so he always had a no-hitter, apparently.
He still does.
Trick question.
Yeah, but when I got in the car to drive home, I did turn the radio on, you know, because a lot of times I'll go ahead and let it tape, or whatever you call it. It used to be tape when I was growing up, because we actually had to do that on VHS. So I thought, I'll just let it tape, I'll get home, watch it, but I'm like, I'm kind of tired, I'm just going to hear what the score is. And if the Cardinals are down, whatever. Well, it was 3-0 at that point. I think the Brewers had the one hit already. But I hadn't found out about Dakota Hudson throwing a no-hitter through 6 1/3 or 7 or whatever it was until then. So I did find that out, which was pretty cool. But last night after the Cardinals game, I thought the Danville game would be over. Well, I flip over, and they're still playing. They're like in the third inning. And I'm like, well, what's going on? Well, I did get tired, so I taped it. And woke up this morning early to watch the end of it, and it was a heartbreaking loss to Idaho. The Danville American Legion team lost 4-3 in the bottom of the ninth inning on a little walk-off hit infield single, by the way. But Alan Shepard, their coach, is going to join us. They're busing back from North Carolina today. So he's going to join us about 4:45 today. We'll talk to him for 5 or 10 minutes, kind of get what that was like for the squad. It was a really cool experience, not only to get all the way to the World Series, Derek, but then to be on ESPN. I mean, how
cool,
cool would that be,
for
right?
A high school kid playing baseball.
Yeah, I mean, for an American Legion team to make it to the ESPN, I mean, that's a pretty cool deal. We've got Pro Football Focus releases college quarterback rankings. We'll talk about that next hour. But when we come back, it's who's got the edge? Cards Cubs edition. Cardinals have the edge right now.
By a half game.
By a half game and a percentage point. I'm hanging on to that. For a guy
and
that hates
one.
Decimals,
yep.
decimals, I'm just hanging on to that as much as I can. But when we come back, we'll talk about who's got the edge. Catcher, is it Cardinals, Cubs? We'll go through the lineup. It seems like it should be mostly Cubs.
You'd think.
But we'll kind of look at it, and now that we're most of the way through the season, we'll kind of judge that when we come back. You can find us on Twitter. Just search at the Drive 93.5. All the podcasts now are on all of the platforms.
All platforms, as you mentioned, Apple, Spotify, iTunes. You can also find us at tampiper.podbean.com. We're also streaming live on espncu.com. Watch us on YouTube.
Boom.
Just search Tay and Piper or the Drive 93.5.
No interns.
No interns.
Well, Andrew Tay is here.
Hans texted you last night. And
yeah, he said something about classes that he can only be here like a half a day on Monday and Fridays. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, we fired you anyway. And he never responded.
He didn't respond until this afternoon. I think he was wondering whether you're serious.
I'm like, well, you were fired anyway, Hans, so get out of here. All right, when we come back, who's got the edge? Cards, Cubs. Wanted to do something with these teams as the Cardinals got the big 3-0 win last night over the Brewers at Busch Stadium. Andrew and I might run down Saturday for the Rockies game.
Sounds fun.
It's a 6:15 game. I told him before school starts, maybe we'll run down and catch one more game. Again, Alan Shepard, Danville Post 210 head coach, a great sponsor of ours, Two Men in a Truck. Travis Blaney is going to join us at 5:05. What do you do with your extra stuff after your kid moves to college? What do you do with that stuff? Well, Two Men in a Truck can help you with that. I know there's a lot of people, me included, that are sitting there looking at the extra stuff. So we'll get all that done. And again, if you want to weigh in, 359-2255. It is The Drive with Tay and Piper.
This episode of The Drive with Lon Tay and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
You check things all the time. Like your email every 10 seconds, or your ex's Instagram. But what about checking something as important as your credit? Well, Discover makes it quick, easy, and best of all, free. Discover is now offering FICO credit scores to everyone for free, even if you're not a customer. And checking your score won't hurt your credit. We call it the Discover Credit Scorecard. And once you know your score, you should check to see if your current credit card is the best fit for you. Check your credit. Compare your card. Go to discover.com/credit scorecard. Limitations apply.
With the Quicksilver card from Capital One, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase. Unlimited? Unlimited? Unlimited! 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 Any way you say it, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase just sounds good. Capital One. What's in your wallet? What's in your wallet? What's in your wallet?
Capital One Bank USA, N.A.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available at AutoZone and AutoZone.com.
Where are we from when you started? What are some of the big differences?
There's a lot of differences. When I started with the Chicago Police Department back in 1986. Just the changes from vest. I didn't wear a vest for 6 years. I was on the police department. Cages on cars, cameras, body cameras. When two-man car in Chicago, only the passenger had a radio. The driver didn't. I mean, there's about the equipment, the changes in people's perception of police, the changes in every night and day compared to us back in the 80s.
Retired Deputy Chief Bob Fitzgerald, Urbana's going to miss you.
How do you not say things when people and you see the media and you see things said about police officers? Because so much of it is nonsensical. It's not true information.
Hey, that's true. You only see the snippets out there. You never see the whole story. You got a 10-minute video and you only see 3 seconds of it. Police officers are, I mean, you have a special person to be a police officer, especially nowadays.
Brought to you by SK Exteriors. Their website, call SK today. Hi, I'm Troy Lands from Lands Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Lands is your local Mitsubishi Electric Diamond dealer. Our technicians are experts at solving your comfort needs, one room or your whole house. Let us show you how a Mitsubishi Electric Heating and Cooling System can save you money now. Your comfort is our priority. Call Lands today at 1-800-AIR-REPAIR or find us online at landsinc.com. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
Grill and chill with the U of I Meat Sales Room Mondays starting this fall on ESPN 93.5. Each Monday, Ben Peterson stops by, gives you ideas on what you should be cooking at your tailgate event. Listen for our first Grill and Chill segment coming up Monday, August 26th. Ben will tell you how to prepare the main dish, any side dishes, talk about the price of the meat and the products used, and how much to make to feed your tailgate group. It's ESPN's Grill and Chill with the U of I Meat Sales Room, located off Florida on Maryland in Urbana. It all gets started August 26th.
Hey, Tay and Piper in the afternoon are teaming up with the U of I Meat Sales Room for grilling and chilling on ESPN 93.5. They're going to let you get ready for tailgating season. Listen for grilling and chilling with U of I Meat Sales Room the Monday before each home game right here on ESPN 93.5. Guys, that's going to start this coming Monday, and essentially what's going to happen is Ben is going to come over from the U of I Meat Sales Room. He's going to set a grill up right outside of our station, and each week he will grill a particular meat. He will then bring it in for us to try. It's not an easy job, people. It's not an easy job. But we will try all of that. We will talk about it on the air. Maybe if he brings in, you know, sausage, let's say, we'll ask Ben what would go with it. Well, blah, blah, blah. The idea here is for you then to get some ideas for your next Saturday, the Illini home games, tailgating, and why not get your stuff at the U of I Meat Sales Room. And in fact, that day, when whatever meat he is grilling here, he's, I think, going to have extra of that to where you can run by and actually buy it that day. So we're going to give you a chance with the U of I Meat Sales Room. This is going to be a fun thing to do all season.
It's going to be great. And we're going to take on this responsibility and be really serious about it and get you, give our stamps of approval and get you ready for your tailgate.
We can do this. You and Trevor and I, we sat down and we really looked deep inside ourselves and said, can we do this each week where we have to eat brand new meat every week from the U of I Meat Sales Room? All right. It is time for Who's Got the Edge?
Wow, you pulled that out of your pocket.
Look at that, man. Music comes I don't from. Know. It's from the Lon Tay tab. Okay. Looks like it has more. So the idea here is that the Cardinals, who's winning the division right now?
Cardinals are up a half game.
Okay, I just wanted to hear you say it. So the Cardinals and Cubs.
Come to the Illini Inn every Friday night to watch the best team on the planet play baseball.
Cardinals will be playing that night. No, that would be the, what, Astros? Or no, that'd be the Dodgers right now, right?
Probably, best team in- yeah.
All right, so we're going to go through each position, and we're going to try to figure out who's got the better option between the Cardinals and Cubs.
It'd be like if we were doing a fantasy draft with these two teams.
Okay.
By position, which team's people of that position got would you be picking.
And for the first time ever, there's two Cardinals in one Cub. In the past, it's always been a Yankee, a Cardinal, a Cub, or a Sox, Cardinal, Cub.
Yeah. In terms of the fans in here, you mean?
Now it's two Cardinals against a Cub, but Piper and I are both fair.
We are.
And we will tell you exactly what we think with each position.
And when that day comes, if it comes, the Cubs go back into first place, we will give you your props.
Yeah, we totally will. Yeah.
If that day comes. we're going to start out with catcher, which is kind of a mixed bag for both teams right now, in that Wilson Contreras, the Cubs catcher who's been putting up really good numbers, has been hurt for the last 4 weeks. Victor Caratini has been okay, along with Jonathan Lucroy. And
right.
Mainstay, but nothing great to write home about. And basically the same thing with Yadier Molina, who's put up okay numbers, but again,
he was hurt forever.
He was hurt for a while and just came back, and Matt Wieters has actually been a pretty good backup.
Big time.
So if you had to pick one team's catcher and backup catcher right now, which team are you going with?
Well, assuming they're all healthy, I'm going with Wilson Contreras here, and it's simply because he's much younger and he's a little bit more productive offensively, for sure, than Yadier Molina. Plus, defensively, it's not like you lose a lot with Wilson Contreras, especially on the bases. He can shut any kind of running game down, as Yadi did most of his career.
He's not good at framing. He rates worse in baseball.
Really? Okay. Well, that's interesting.
He's terrible at framing pitches.
I would assume Yadi would be high in that, or at least most of his career. I'm going to take Wilson and Victor Caratini, but I will say this. Matt Wieters, has been huge for the Cardinals this year, Pipes.
A lot of big hits and has filled in with some power when we've needed it. But, yeah, absolutely, you got to give Contreras the edge when he's healthy because he's just a much better bat right now. Yadier Molina's OBP is below 300. It's his worst since 2006, back when we didn't even think he was a threat at the plate.
Right.
So, yeah, I love Yadi. He's just not getting it done at the plate right now. I know he
had
just came back from injury. He did.
Or last night, excuse me.
It's almost like when you're 38 and injured and have been catching for 1,000 years, you're not always going to be 100% effective on the offense.
I guess that adds up, right?
That's fair. That is fair.
Cubs at the edge.
All right. Next up, first base, Paul Goldschmidt versus Anthony Rizzo. Rizzo's kind of had a down year, hit a few home runs lately to get going again, but he had, I think, a month-long streak without a home run. Goldschmidt kind of turned it on as Rizzo turned it off and vice versa.
Yeah.
So who has the edge if you're picking?
Boy, neither one of these guys have lived up to expectation this season. I know Goldschmidt did get hot for a little bit, and that helped carry the Cardinals. I know what Rizzo means to that team. Rizzo means more to the Cubs, I think, in the heartbeat of that team than Goldschmidt does yet with the Cardinals. Maybe one day he gets that with the Cardinals, but I think Rizzo is just kind of the guy that the other guys look at on the bench and say, oh, that's right, Rizzo's coming up this inning. That's huge for us. That said, I'm taking this year into equation, and I really don't – I mean, you could pick either one of these and I think win the argument, but I'll probably go Paul on this one because Rizzo really is having a weird kind of – season for him. Goldschmidt's not great by any means, but I'm still going to go Goldie, I think, this year.
Yeah, I'll take Goldie, too. Rizzo's kind of had a power outage of late. Goldie now at 28 bombs is kind of a little, you maybe would have forgotten that.
Boy, that's creeping up, isn't
right?
it?
And he's only at 259, so his average is as low as it's been in a long time, maybe the lowest of his career. Mm-hmm. I think both are, it's fair to say, under expectations.
Big time.
But Rizzo going forward still worries me just because of the what he's put on paper, of course.
I hate facing him.
Goldie, you could say the same thing, but I'll take Goldie going forward with the Cardinals.
Would you agree with that, Trevor?
Yeah, I wouldn't fight you on that either way. I mean, if you presented an argument either way, I'd probably agree with it.
I agree.
I think both have been B-plus players.
Yep.
You were probably hoping both would be A-plus players, but they've both been pretty good for their team. I think they're both two of the leaders that the other guys look to on their teams.
Right.
But obviously, as you pointed out, Rizzo's been there forever, and he is now kind of the veteran on that Cubs team.
Totally agree.
But I wouldn't argue with you either way.
And I also think Ben Zobrist, I've said this from the get-go, they miss Zobrist more than anybody. But I do think
he's on his way back.
It's a weird feeling. Like, when you play athletics, there's always that one dude on your team, and you sometimes hoped to be that guy that you could look down. Like in fast pitch softball or in high school basketball or whatever sport, you could look down at a teammate and be like, okay, he's here. We're going to be okay. I mean, I think you have that. And I feel like sometimes that's what Rizzo would be to the Cubs.
Yeah.
I know.
Zobrist played a role like coming off the bench for Golden State, whether it was Sean Livingston or even Iguodala in that playoff run, just somebody could plug in, and he was dang serviceable.
I mean, just like how it was Zobrist won World Series MVP and Iguodala won Finals MVP.
Right.
Not something
exactly
you might
right.
predict, but similar role.
David Eckstein?
This next one should take about 3.5 seconds. Colton Wong versus Addison Russell, who doesn't belong on an MLB roster.
After we get past second and shortstop, I want to ask you a question about both those positions.
Okay.
It's obviously Colton Wong. Colton Wong is having a Gold Glove type of year, and lately, and I mean lately, like in the last month, nobody is hitting better with the Cardinals, and for some reason they still got him down like 7th and 8th in the order. He needs to be moved up, Colton Wong does, but it's a no-brainer here. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. Colton Wong is the guy.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with Addison Russell's numbers. I am familiar with Cubs Twitter enough to know that he is not good. Colton Wong, great defensively, as you said. He's hitting .275, which for everyday players is the best in the Cardinals.
Yeah, that's scary.
It is scary.
That's scary to look down in the paper and you see .275 as your best average. And I know today's game is more about war and runners and whatever, you know,
slugging
and all that stuff. But I still look at average. And when I see nobody even close to 300, I'm like, ugh.
Well, I mean, Ozuna was out for a month and he led your team in RBIs until the day he got back, right?
Yes.
Next up, shortstop, Paul DeJong, who hit a home run last night that shorted out the M and the Big Mac sign. And Javi Baez.
Kind of like second base. This is a no-brainer. It's Javi Baez. Baez is one of these studs in baseball. He's electrifying. His defense could be better than his offense. Probably is, to be honest with you. And I'd still take his offense any day. Paul DeJong, now that said, Paul DeJong's having a good year.
I was going to say, the underlying stats have these two pretty comparable offensively, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, the defense. And really, you know the one thing I like about DeJong? I'm not comparing him to Baez, by the way, defensively. The one thing I like about DeJong is he makes the routine play. You know, he makes that play. On occasion, he makes a really good play, but he's solid. And that's all you could ask for if you're the Cardinals. And if you're the Cubs, Javi Baez has been everything and more that you could ask for in a Cubs uniform. So I'll go Baez there over DeJong.
DeJong knocks out the light last night. Baez knocks out DeJong in this fight easily. I mean,
wow.
DeJong was an all-star. I'm not sure if he was a legit because the Cardinals didn't have at the time a lot of good options.
No.
He has hit 22 home runs, but his average is around 250. He's solid. He's a solid to good option there. Baez is one of the best players in baseball.
Yep.
I think when you make the argument, Cubs fans are like, well, I don't know how many legit A-level stars on this team, that dude is one of them.
There's no doubt. Now, if you had to put them all together, second and shortstop, that's how bad Addison Russell is right now, because I would take DeJong and Wong over Baez and Russell. Right? I mean, that's a no-brainer. Or would you?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's kind of an even thing in terms of Wong is much better than Russell, but Baez is much better than DeJong.
Yeah,
there's
maybe
a big gap between Baez and DeJong, but Russell...
I don't know. I'd probably just deal with Russell, which I have been.
It's an interesting question. Next up,
third base, Matt Carpenter, although I guess you could put Tommy Edmund here, but last night he was in the outfield. Matt Carpenter versus Chris Bryant.
Yeah, this will go quick.
Chris Bryant. I'm taking Chris Bryant. The guy should be better than what he is even. And I mean that, and I know he's a stud. Like, every time I watch him, if he strikes out or he grounds out, I'm like, wow, how do you get you out? But somehow he sometimes gets out. But I'm taking Bryant over Carpenter, who Carp's just not having a very good year.
He's hitting 215.
Yeah.
And Chris Bryant, I know, isn't playing up to maybe the par of a top 10 player in baseball, which I think he has the ceiling of that. Yeah, Matt Carpenter's not getting it done. I know he's had a couple of moments since he's been back of getting a clutch hit. But Chris Bryant is
not good enough.
A different level.
All right, outfield. Which outfield would you rather have, the three of Ozuna, Fowler, and Edmund, or the three of Schwarber, Hayward, and Castellanos?
And by the way, Harrison Bader was called up today. They sent
down so you can slot him
Randy Arruza, what is it?
Arruza.
So, yeah, I guess you could slide Bader in for Edmund.
I don't want to.
I'd rather take Edmund right now over Bader. I think the reason... I was going to say this. I'm taking the Cubs here because of Hayward, because he's had an unbelievable year. But Marcell Ozuna's had a really good year. Castellanos has been everything you could have hoped for. I guess if I had to, and you said you can start either these three tonight or these three, I'm going to go Schwarber, Hayward, and Castellanos.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Schwarber is the weakest link right now of the six. Fowler's actually been a little bit better than I expected, because I lost all expectations last year.
Totally.
Ozuna's been very good at the plate, for sure. Castellanos, though, I think gives the Cubs the big edge here. I love Tommy Ballgame on the other side, but Castellanos and Hayward has become a really solid hitter for the Cubs at the top of the lineup.
If you say Schwarber and Ozuna are kind of a wash and that they're both bad defensively and they both hit a bunch of home runs, then you look at Edmund and Fowler or Hayward and Castellanos, and I would take Hayward and Castellanos over 10 times out of 10. But
I'll tell you what, though, for both these teams, I'm not sure those are top-notch outfields.
No, they aren't. And a third of the Cubs is pieced together from a trade earlier this year, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? I mean, if Almora is the third name written there, I'm thinking a heck of a lot longer over
Amen.
Which of those three I'm taking.
Because Castellanos has been huge so far for the Cubs.
All right, next up, starting rotation. Cubs certainly better on paper.
Right.
If you look at the numbers, it's Michaelis, Flaherty, Hudson, Wainwright, and Waka, or Lester, Hamels, Quintana, Hendricks, and Darvish.
Boy, Waka.
Yeah, that's a tough one to put there at the end.
With Waka at the end, it makes me think. Otherwise,
well,
I would go Cardinals
last night.
Cardinals have six shutouts, I think, since the All-Star break. Is that right? Or four, maybe? Four shutouts?
Has Flaherty thrown all four of them?
Right. I think so. I mean, Hudson obviously. Really good. Waino's been great at home. Weird on the road. Waka's just weird. Michaelis has been weird. We can't count on him all of a sudden to get starts. Lester is really good one day and then the most brutal pitcher in baseball the next. Hamels got hurt. Hasn't looked the same since. Quintana just never really has lived up to what he was with the White Sox. Hendricks is unbelievable against the Cardinals. And then, I don't know, I guess the average against everybody else, right, or a little bit better than average.
Darvish has been lights out lately.
And Darvish has been lights out. I'm still going Cardinals pitching on this. I'm still taking, I think I'm going with the Cardinals rotation.
I am as well. I think they are very, very close on paper, as you mentioned. Jack Flaherty is by far and away the best out of the bunch right now.
For sure.
Hands down. Going.
Big time.
Dakota Hudson's been pretty solid. He's 12-6. And Waino, when you actually stack up Waino's stats versus Lester's, they're almost identical.
Right.
Which is amazing going into the season. Who would you have picked? Again, I'll say it again. I thought Waino was a bullpen catcher, coach, or whatever
I agree.
At this point in the season. So, going with the Cardinals. Cardinals have the fifth best ERA in baseball.
That's amazing. I know Lucas just said look up the last five starts by Cubs starters. You look at the numbers for Cardinals starters. They're really good. It's been the Cardinals offense that's been the bugaboo this year.
If you were doing like a fantasy draft with these pitchers, I might take Hudson and Flaherty before I even touch the Cubs. But then I might take all five Cubs before I went back to the Cardinals.
You know what? That's a great point.
So it's like, I honestly don't know.
Michael is the one that's confusing.
Right. But if I was starting a playoff series tomorrow, maybe I would give the Cubs the edge just because I'd want like five guys who've been there.
Yeah, that's true.
But I honestly have no problem with the boom or bust that's been a lot more boom lately with guys like Flaherty and Hudson.
And you've seen what Lester has done in the playoffs.
Right. If it's the Cubs, though, who are you throwing out your first three in a playoff series? Where's Lester?
Great question.
Throw in there. Darvish number one?
I would go Hendricks-Darvish for sure. Or Darvish-Hendricks.
You know what's funny?
Honestly, I'd go Hamels, and then it'd be up to either Quintana or Lester to be the fourth.
You guys would shoot me right now, and Cubs fans would shoot me, and everybody will laugh at me. I would still throw John Lester out game one. That guy has won how many World Series?
I know,
but I've always been there for game one.
The problem is it's so boom or bust with him.
I know.
Like, you could be at Atlanta for that first game, and Atlanta could go up 6-0 in the first inning, and you'd just be buried.
That's fair. How about this? We're running out of time.
Yeah, that's fine.
Can we do the bullpen?
I mean, these aren't exactly exciting position matchups.
The bullpen will go pretty quickly.
I think we're going Cardinals.
Bullpen, where you'd agree Cardinals, right?
Yes, that's not even.
And then the bench for the Cardinals would be Munoz, Lane Thomas, and Harrison Bader right now. And then for the Cubs, that'd be Jonathan Lucroy, Ian Happ, Tony Kemp.
I like Happ. I like what he does there.
We're tied 4-4, by the way, right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Cubs Cardinals.
Yeah. So it comes down to this, where we have to... Munoz is solid.
I feel like Happ is the best player overall.
I do too. Bader gives you speed, which in September, when it goes 40-man, that's huge to
Bader
have.
And Kemp are about the same in terms of speed.
I agree. Well, that's true. Yeah, I forgot about Kemp's speed.
But I'd rather have Munoz than Lucroy.
Yeah, I would too. And Lane Thomas, I mean, we haven't seen enough of him to really project what he could be. I'll probably, because of Happ, go with the Cubs on that.
That's right.
All right. So, technically, the Cubs win 5-4 on our Who's Got the Edge.
Technically, the Cubs win by one. Technically, the Cardinals up by half game.
There you go.
I love it. Hey, and by the way, people are starting to send in jokes already today. I didn't even ask.
You didn't even ask yet.
But we want jokes sent in at 359-2255. The best joke of the day wins tickets to Jim Gaffigan. But here's the scoop. It's got to make me laugh. So I haven't had a chance to read these. I just noticed that there's jokes coming in. 359-2255. Send it in if it makes me laugh. And I'm pretty happy, dude, but sometimes, you know, it's got to be funny for me. If it makes me laugh, I will let you know, and you will win tickets to see Jim Gaffigan at the State Farm Center. Yesterday, Eric from Pasodum won with his butt quack.
That was a good
joke. That was a pretty good one. All right, we're back with Alan Shepard, Danville Post 210 head coach. We'll do it next. It is The Drive with Tay and Pipe.
I thought going to the dentist would hurt, but my mom scheduled an appointment for me at the Tolono Family Dental, and everything was just fine.
Kids love coming to the new Tolono Family Dental. Listen up, moms and dads. It's time to schedule your back-to-school dental exam for your son or daughter, so why not schedule your appointment when you schedule your child's appointment? Tolono Family Dental has appointments available. Schedule yours by calling 485-5760. Call Tolono Family Dental to schedule your appointment at 485-5760. All students in kindergarten, second, and sixth grades are required to complete a dental exam. Are you new to town? Looking for a new dentist? Let the doctors and staff at Tolono Family Dental help you get back on track and get your students prepared for an awesome school year. It's comfortable, safe, anxiety-free dental care at Tolono Family Dental. 202 North P Street in Tolono. Call 485-5760 to schedule your appointment. That's 217-485-5760.
He finds unique ways to let both food and wine dictate his story. He's Chef Thad Morrow, from humble Midwestern beginnings to the center of the world in New York City. And he's back at the new Naya Restaurant, Asian-inspired Italian cuisine, situated in the heart of Campus Town. Enjoy a night out in the company of those you love. Join Chef Thad Morrow at Naya, now open at 212 East Green Street, online at NAYARestaurant.com.
How good are PXG clubs? Golf writers describe them as absolutely remarkable and the best golf clubs out there. Our customers call them insanely good and say they live up to the hype. So what are you waiting for? Step up your game and enjoy golf more than ever. Call 844-PLAY-PXG, 844-PLAY-PXG, or visit pxg.com to book your custom fitting. PXG. Nobody makes golf clubs the way we do. Period.
There are a lot of places you can buy Illini gear, but if you want the official gear of the Fighting Illini, you need to get it at Game Day Spirit, because they are the official fan store of the Fighting Illini. You could buy your Illini gear where you buy your cereal, or you could buy at the official merchandiser, Game Day Spirit. You could buy your gear where you get your groceries, or you could buy from the official fan store. Get it from Game Day Spirit. Get the latest styles from top name brands like Nike and Champion. Game Day Spirit on Neal and Kirby in Champaign and on Green Street in Campus Town.
Bunny's Tavern, the area's favorite place to eat and drink, kicks it up a notch with the Hornitos Cubby Rita. That's right, you can now enjoy the great taste of the genuine Cubby Rita, just like you can get at Wrigley Field. The home of the Cubbies serves the delicious, refreshing Hornitos Zing Zang Margarita, mixed with Hornitos Palata Tequila. Now get the bleacher experience at Bunny's Tavern in Urbana. Join fellow Cub fans at Bunny's for great food and daily specials to please your appetite and thirst. Bunny's Tavern, your go-to for over 83 years. Located at 119 West Water Street in Urbana.
Your next haircut now has a shortcut. Introducing the Sport Clips Haircuts app. That's right. Now the cut you want is just a tap away. Just download the app, check in at your neighborhood Sport Clips, and choose your Guy Smart stylist, and you're done. We'll text you when your stylist is almost ready. Then head to Sport Clips for a championship haircut experience. It's home field advantage for your hair. No appointment needed. Just download the Sport Clips app and check in. And don't forget a beard trim. Sport Clips. You choose the cut. We cut the weight.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday morning 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Hey, Lon, let me tell you about CMI. Yep. Go check out and see them on Bloomington Road. If you are in charge of keeping your business clean and germ-free, check out Esprayer. This technology is great for schools, but also great for health, assisted living, and gym facilities. Call CMI at 217-359-6262 today for more info, or to schedule a demo. CMI Clean, your janitorial and equipment experts.
All right, tonight, the American Legion World Series ends in Shelby, North Carolina. And unfortunately, the area team representing our area, Danville Post 210, will not be able to win that championship. But, man, what a run they had to get all the way to the World Series in Shelby, North Carolina, and then lost last night a tough one to an Idaho team, 4-3 in the bottom of the ninth. Right now, head coach Alan Shepard joining us. How are you, Coach?
Doing well. How are you?
Good, and thank you for your time. I know you're you guys are on a bus heading back. That's not exactly a short trip, is it?
No, it's about 10 and a half hours to get back home.
Ooh, well, listen, and it's got to be hard after what happened last night. Let's get to that, and then we'll talk about what a magnificent run it has been for this squad, the Danville Post 210. Last night, you guys came from, but you had an early lead, then you came from behind late, and then, of course, a kind of an infield single in the ninth inning to end it. How were the kids after that game last night?
You know, we got a lot of guys that this is their last year, and the immediate response is just to be broke up. But at the end of it, the run that they've had coming from such a small town, facing all the big city teams, you know, after our first game, we didn't have such a good game, and we got beat up pretty good by Louisiana, but they did show why they were supposed to be there. And I think after about an hour, they started to realize that what big the things that they've done for our community, and just enjoyed the moment a little bit.
I want to get to that and what it means and what it has meant for not only Danville, but the area. But your team is one of those teams that, you know, and I had the coolness. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I coached against a lot of these kids growing up. When I was helping coach the Champaign Tribe, and they were with the Danville Chiefs team. So I got to see a lot of these kids when they were younger and how good they were. And you could tell that these kids were going to be great high school players, and they certainly were. But, you know, this team, you talk about a closeness, and it felt like that. And when I talked to guys like our buddy Grimes and others, they talked about the closeness of this team. And I guess it is one of those where you see that with, you know, come from behind wins, just everything along the way in this run to the World Series. That means a lot, doesn't it, to have that kind of a closeness amongst a group?
Absolutely. This team, you know, we've been on about a 4-year run with this group, and we turn over a lot of our roster every year. But this group, more than any of the other teams, we don't have the 90-mile-an-hour pitchers or the guy that's going to hit 25 home runs. They just play well together, and more importantly, they never got down, and they never thought they were out of any game. And we've had a lot of come-from-behind victories, and I guess the word of the day for them is they're just a scrappy bunch of guys that really want to win.
Coach, what was this run like? Obviously, you got to win a lot of games to get to the point where you're in the semis of the World Series, and a lot of these guys going off to college. But what were you able to do to get to that level, and what did your team able to accomplish? What stood out about this group going forward?
Well, you know, again, about 4 years ago, winter of 2015, we decided to change the program. And when I mean change the program, it's we're going to take all the kids from our area. We're going to take the best kids. Doesn't matter what school they go to, and we're going to play a tougher schedule, and that might mean being on the road. You know, we're in Midland, Michigan this year, Festus, Missouri, which was also in the World Series, and take them on the road, and that's how they're going to get better, both for me in the summer, but also for their respective high schools and colleges, just to expose them. And and boy, the payoff is now showing and seeing that they're not afraid of a kid that's throwing 90, 92. And matter of fact, they do a little better when they see the faster pitching. And 1 through 9, what my guys will bunt. I guess I'm kind of an old school guy. I like to play a little
football. I love it.
And we got a lot of compliments at the World Series, especially from some of the guys that have been around a while, that they like to see that back in the game. And I don't understand how it ever left the game, but that's what we do.
Coach, not a lot of players get to play on ESPNU before they make it to college, but I know that you have quite a few that will be playing at the next level. Could you kind of take us into where maybe we can follow some of your players going forward?
You know, we've got several guys going off to college, and every year we usually get 90% of our guys go to play college baseball. But, you know, we got a lot of guys at DAC, obviously, there in Danville,
sure,
with Coach Bunton. And then we've got guys at Lakeland Community College. We got two Eastern Illinois commits. We got a guy at Greenville University. We're starting to spread our wings, if you will. Kankakee Community College is another one we got kids going to. That's the payoff for me. A lot of these school guys, they get paid to do it. The summer guys still don't. But man, the payoff for me is that I get to go watch them play college baseball. And if I see a guy lay down a bunt that I know we've worked on a 100 times, it's rewarding as heck.
That's awesome. Just hit up Grimes at Fat Man's. That'll be your payment for the stuff you've done for this. Alan Shepard is our guest, Danville Post 210 head coach. Coach, what was it like to coach this team? I mean, I assume probably you're going to say it was very easy. What was it like to take the field every day and just kind of watch these kids work?
You know, sometimes you catch yourself spectating and then you realize, you know, we're in a situation I need to make a decision.
Right.
So, I've been doing this about 18 years, and
wow,
the last 3 or 4 years we've been absolutely blessed with talent. At that point you're just trying not to screw it up for them. So we've had to work on some things this year. We had to figure some things out for some guys and where they're going to play. And, guys like Chase Rademacher, which, you know, he was 1A high school Bismarck that we knew was good, and he's been in my program a long time. But my God, did that kid blossom once he got to be around other talent.
Right.
So that's the things you do as individuals, but at the end of the day, as a coach, your main job is to get them all pointing in the right direction at the same time, and that's what this team did early, and then we've just grown from that.
What does this mean, Coach Shepherd? 18 years, I didn't realize. That's amazing to have that kind of quality coach staying there for that long, the quantity as well. What does this mean to your program now going forward? And there's got to be area kids listening to this now. How do they get to be a part of a team that has been so good this year, 38-10-1? I mean, what is this going to do for you guys moving forward?
Well, it's funny you bring it up now. There's no rest for the wicked, as they say. We'll get back, and we've got some things scheduled for the boys, and some people are doing some things locally there for them. But our program's the largest Legion-based program in the country already. We also have softball and baseball, 19 teams in total. And our baseball tryouts are Saturday.
Oh, my. I love it.
So, we're busy, and I know that, you know, you see it in the paper for 8 or 10 weeks out of the year, but really there's a lot of people working with me behind the scenes that we work on this 12 months out of the year to try to give these guys the best opportunity to grow. And I would suspect that there'll probably be a few people at tryouts, and people think Danville Post 210 is not just Danville. I think we got 4 Danville kids out of the 18 on this team this year.
That is so cool. And you know, the one thing, Coach, that, and I'll finish it off with this. It was so neat to where, you know, I don't really know many of your kids. I coached against them a little bit, right? And I don't think I've ever met you and some of the guys, and I'd love to do that one day. But it took 1 second for me to turn on the TV last night and immediately start rooting for this team. And that's what's cool about it, just the pride of not only in Danville, but the entire kind of central Illinois coming around you guys. That's a really cool thing for you guys to kind of carry that torch.
Yeah, you know, and we've had some support. We've won 3 out of the last 4 state titles in Legion baseball, and it's taken us 54 years to get to the World Series. So,
wow.
The support has been unbelievable back home, and not just from the people that we know, the people that have come around. And I like the fact that it's brought the eyes to Legion baseball.
Yes.
I was a travel ball guy. But I'm telling you, Legion baseball is still where it's at as far as I'm concerned, because it still lets the community have something to root for.
Awesome.
And now, boy, they're rooting for them now.
Yeah, and let me ask you that real quick, Coach. Is there a shortage of Legion teams? We got about a minute left. Or is it pretty ready? You know, I had an older son that didn't end up doing the Legion thing. I've got a younger son that I'd love for him to kind of go that route after pony ball, et cetera. But is there a shortage of it, or how is the Legion system working right now?
We've got about 3,200 teams across the country.
Wow.
And, you know, that's down from 7,000 back in the 80s and 90s, but it's back on the growth.
That's
because
good.
It's still an affordable way to play community baseball and see competition.
It did seem like back when I was younger, it seemed like it was more prevalent, right? More teams. But now certainly, yep. Something like this than what you guys and your kids were able to, what your guys were able to do is going to bring a lot of attention back to it. Alan Shepherd, I can't thank you enough for joining us. Congratulations on a marvelous run. 38-10-1 for the season. They finish just one game shy of the World Series finale, which I believe is tonight. You guys be safe getting back, Coach, and thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it. Alan Shepherd, good stuff. Danville Post 210, head coach, 18 years he's been coaching that. I mean, you know, that's somebody that, you know, you might say, all right, well, he's coached for 4 or 5 years because he's got a kid doing it. 18 years,
yeah.
Unless he's got a lot of different kids, you know, from a wide variety of range. I don't know Alan
as
well.
Philip Rivers was coaching Legion ball.
He'd be your coach for the next 40 years, but certainly it takes somebody like him and, like he said, people behind him to make that work. All right, next hour we're going to start out with Travis Blaney, 2 men in a truck. Can't wait to talk to him. Your kids are now in college. What do you do with all that extra stuff? 2 men in a truck could help you out on that. And we're going to talk about Illinois quarterbacks.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by 2 Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at 2menchampagne.com for a free estimate.